for our scripture reading tonight, will you turn with me to the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John, John chapter 11. And we will read in that chapter, beginning with verse 21. John 11, 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. Today is the big celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It is the greatest event that has occurred in human history. There is absolutely nothing to be compared with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. It is essentially the only new event that has occurred in human history, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From Adam on down, with a monotony with which we're all familiar, he died, he died, he died, he died. Just one endless succession of deaths. It is appointed unto men once to die. The Lord Jesus told his disciples, after he arose from the dead, he said, Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Six times in the Acts of the Apostles, we read the disciples saying, We are witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. In the fourth chapter of Acts, in the 33rd verse, we read, And with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection. When our Lord Jesus Christ was here among men, there are three instances recorded in which he raised individuals from the dead. He raised Jairus' daughter, this 12-year-old girl, from the dead, the only child that he had. He raised that young man of Nain, the only son of his mother, from the dead. And he raised Lazarus, the one of whom we read in this chapter. He raised him from the dead, an only brother. There is a sense in which every person is an only. There's nobody in the world just like you or just like me. We are absolutely unique, each individual. And each individual is individually prized by those that know and love them. The Lord Jesus recorded seven sign miracles that are recorded in the Gospel of John. The first one was at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And the seventh one is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And we read concerning these sign miracles in John 20, many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing he might have life through his name. Someone has said, the Lord Jesus is the only one that can put real gladness into a marriage, and he's the only one that can take the sadness out of the funeral. Because when a believer who knows the Lord Jesus Christ leaves this life, we know it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. And for those that are left behind, we sorrow, but we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Now the Bible speaks of death in two distinct ways. It speaks of the believer's death as sleep. The Lord Jesus says earlier in this chapter, our friend Lazarus sleeps. The disciple says, well, Lord, if he's sleeping, that's good. Everybody loves sleep. That's great. If he sleeps, he does well. And then the Lord Jesus said a little later on in the chapter, Jesus spoke very plainly to them and said, Lazarus is dead. But it's interesting that the scripture equates death for the believer as being sleep. We read, for instance, in Matthew's gospel that after the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, many bodies of the saints which slept, sleeping saints, which slept arose, and they came out of their graves. It was the sleep of death that the scripture is referred to. In Acts chapter 7, you remember when Stephen, as he was being stoned to death, he prayed, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And having said this, it says he fell asleep. What a wonderful thing it is. Sleep. That's the way the Bible speaks of it, because when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, it says, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And body, spirit, and soul will be reunited, and those that have fallen asleep in Christ will come forth from their graves victorious. It's interesting that now they call them gardens, but they used to call them cemeteries. Cemeteries. And, you know, the cemetery is from a Greek word that just means a sleeping chamber. That's what they called them in faith years ago. They sleeping chambers. But unbelievers' death is not called sleep in Scripture. It is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. The Lord Jesus made a wonderful promise to his own. He says, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. And so the Lord doesn't look at the believer's death as death, because to depart to be with Christ, as the scripture tells us, is far better. There are two resurrections that are spoken of in Scripture, and by our Lord Jesus Christ, when you turn to John chapter 5, he speaks of them. He speaks of the resurrection of the just and the unjust. He said, the hour is coming when all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and come forth. Some unto the resurrection will be the resurrection of the just, and there will be the resurrection of the unjust at that time. Now, these two do not take place at the same time, I might say, because the first resurrection may take place at any time. And it's going to take place when our Lord Jesus Christ comes. Christ the first fruits, the Bible says, and afterwards, they that are his at his coming. That's when the resurrection of believers are going to take place. But the second resurrection, the resurrection of the dead, will not take place until after the millennial reign of Christ, after Christ has reigned on this earth 1,000 years. And then we read of that in Revelation chapter 20. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. They were judged out of those things which were written in the books, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In this chapter, the two sisters, Mary and Martha, sent word to the Lord. Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And it says in this chapter, Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. And we read in the context that the Lord delayed his coming and stayed for 2 days longer where he was. But God's delays are not his denials. God has a purpose. He said to his disciples, it was good that I was not there. The sister said, it was good, Lord, if you'd been here. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. The Lord said to his disciples, it was good that I was not there, because this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And so the Lord Jesus allowed this one to pass through the portals of death, just as he will allow all of his own during this entire period of the day of his grace to pass through the portals of death. What for? For the glory of God. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 17, you remember he prayed, He said, Father, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Why not? You're saved. Just as well take us out of here. Why should we have all this trial and tribulation to deal with? He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Which immediately tells us that he has a very definite purpose for his being here. In fact, he commissioned his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's interesting that both of these sisters, Mary and Martha, said exactly the same thing to the Lord. In fact, the words that they said to the Lord are the only words that are recorded that Mary spoke. Martha, it says, as soon as she heard, why, she just ran. She couldn't wait to see the Lord. She ran. He wasn't even in town yet. She ran out of town to greet him. And she said, Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here, yes, Lord, if you had been here. And I think she said it in something like that tone, chiding him. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I believe that when Mary spoke those words, she didn't say it chidingly. She didn't say if. That wasn't the emphasis with her. The emphasis was on him. Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And she didn't go out running to meet him. It says she just sat still in the house. You know, it's very difficult for us to wait upon God. Martha couldn't wait. And I think the reason that she couldn't wait was she hadn't sat like Mary at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And she ran out. And when she goes out, she immediately chides the Lord for his failure to respond. We sent you word. Why didn't you come in a hurry? Instead of fiddling around for a couple of days. You ever feel like the Lord is delaying his answers to your prayers? That's the way Martha felt. And she expressed herself. But Mary, she just sat still in the house. And when the Lord got through with her interview with Martha, she went back and she said, the Master is come and he calls for thee. He wants to see you. And Mary jumped right up and she left. And those that were there followed with her. We sing in one of our hymns, we leave it to himself to choose and to command. We wait his time. We wait his time, do we? Mary did. We wait his time. So shall the night soon end in blissful day. Moses said to the children of Israel at the Red Sea, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Isaiah, it says, their strength is to sit still. You have any grandchildren? Try and get them to sit still. Now, you sit still. And you can't sit still for a minute. In a constant motion. But strength is just to sit still. In the 46th Psalm, it says, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. He's not in the thunder and in the tornado. It says he came in the still small voice. Mary sat still. Well, Martha said to the Lord, she said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died, but I know that even now, it's not too late, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, he'll give it thee. Not too late. And the Lord Jesus said, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha said, I know that he shall rise again at the resurrection in the last day. So you see that she believed, as the Old Testament saints believed, in the resurrection of the Lord. And I'm sure that they believed in a general resurrection from the dead. But the Lord spoke about an entirely different resurrection here. The resurrection that applies to believers and applies to the Lord himself. In fact, when he first mentioned it, it's recorded in Matthew 16, I believe, when he first mentioned this resurrection from the dead, they said, what does this mean? A resurrection from the dead? They had no problem in believing in a resurrection of the dead. And there are millions of people in Christendom today that believe in a resurrection of the dead. They believe it's going to take place someday. But a resurrection out from among the dead. If the Lord Jesus, somebody has said, had not said Lazarus come forth, everybody in the graves would have come forth, be specified. Lazarus. Come forth. The Old Testament saints had believed in the resurrection. You remember that familiar verse in Job? We sing it in one of our hymns. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and on the earth again shall stand. Job believed that his Redeemer lived, and he says, though worms should destroy my body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He had the hope of the resurrection, and that's believed to be the earliest book that we have in the Bible. Written around the time, they say, about the time of Abraham lived. Well, the book of Genesis and those books were written under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in Moses' time, later on in history. And it says in Acts chapter 4 that they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Not the resurrection of the dead. What the apostles preached was they preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That there is going to be a resurrection out from among the dead. I want to think with you about that remarkable thing, because where they testified this in front of those Sadducees. They were the leaders in the Sanhedrin when the Apostle Peter stands in front of them, and John, in Acts chapter 4, they're standing in the presence of the ruling body in Israel. And they were Sadducees, and the Scripture tells us they didn't believe in the resurrection. And here are these men preaching through Jesus the resurrection out from among the dead, the opposite of what these fellows believed. So it says they just marveled as they heard these two unlettered men preaching this message. Peter and John, just fishermen. It says they're ignorant and unlearned men. And they marvel at the boldness of Peter and John. And Peter concluded his remarks to these fellows by saying, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had crucified, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Lord Jesus brought a wonderful revelation here to Martha. You know, in a way we got a blessing out of her not sitting at the feet of Jesus, because we have here the record of what he told her this day when she came at his feet to complain, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother has not died. I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day, Martha said. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he have died, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am the resurrection. In Adam all die. But Christ is the resurrection. All in Christ made alive. All in Christ shall be made alive. I'm the resurrection. And so the question is, are you in Christ or not? We read in Hebrews chapter 6, the forerunner, the Lord Jesus, the one who rose from the dead and lives in the power of the endless life, the forerunner is for us entered. He didn't enter in for himself. He's the great I am. But I am the resurrection and the life. That's for us. He's for us, the forerunner entered. And the Scripture says, he said, because I live, you shall live also. If Christ be not raised, ye are yet in your sins. You remember when Paul defines the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, he tells us that the gospel rests on certain unchangeable facts. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, he says. And later on in that chapter, he uses seven ifs of arguments. Not ifs of doubt, but ifs of arguments. It says, if Christ be not raised, ye are yet in your sins. If Christ be not raised, those that have perished, those that have believed in him, they've perished. They're through. It's all done for them. He says, if in this life only, we apostles, we're stupid. We've gone out and given our lives, been persecuted, been treated as the filth and the offscouring of this world. Said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But I, says, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. Christ the firstfruits, and afterwards those that are his at his coming. In his answer, the Lord deals with the only two possibilities that there are for believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. There are those who fall asleep in Jesus, and there are those who will be living when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. Those of us who are living, we don't know which class we're going to be in, because we don't know how much longer we're going to live. Nor do we know the day or the hour when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come. And the apostle makes it very clear in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says that those that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And he says the dead in Christ, those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they'll rise first. And then he says, then we. What do you mean, we, Paul? You're not going to be here. But he believed that he might be here when the Lord Jesus Christ came. And so he says, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. There are only two prayers in the New Testament that are addressed to the Lord Jesus. And they deal with the two classes, the only two classes that there can be. Those that fall asleep and those who will be living when our Lord Jesus returns. Stephen prayed just as he was dying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Essentially, that's what every believer does. He commits his spirit, his soul, to the keeping of the Lord Jesus. And those he keeps are well kept. Receive my spirit. And those who are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord, they say, as the next to the last verse of the New Testament says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We have two men at the close of John chapter 21, Peter and John, and they too illustrate the two classes. The Lord has just told Peter, Peter, you're going to be martyred for my sake. He told him how he was going to die. This spake he signifying by what death Peter should glorify God. And Peter says, well, Lord, what about John? Is he going to die too? Is he going to die a martyr's death? The Lord says, never mind that. What is that to thee? You follow me. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, he didn't say he was going to tarry, but he said, if I will. And you will be here when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, if it's his will that you be here. And if it's not his will that you be here, you'll be among the number, like the Apostle Peter, who will go home to heaven by way of the death route. But how good it is to know what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10. Whether we wake, he died for us. This is what it says. He died for us that whether we wake or sleep, whether we're living when he comes, we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whichever route you take, essentially it's the same. You're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. I know that he shall rise again. But the Lord here puts the two together, and he says, in this verse, the two classes. I am the resurrection, first of all. I am the life. Both things are true. First, he says, in relation to the statement, I am the resurrection, he says, he that believeth in me, though he have died, yet shall he live. That believer that has gone home to heaven by way of the death route, the Lord Jesus, I'm the resurrection. I'm going to raise him up when I return. How about those who are living? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. There are those who will never pass through the portals of death. Paul says, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede those that are asleep. I am the resurrection. He that believeth in me, though he have died, yet shall he live. Think of all of the people that you've known and I've known during my life. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers. Now with the Lord. Some of them have been with the Lord for years. Grandparents. 50 years or more. As far as our counting is gone. They were the Lord. And Martha said, Lord, there's no sense wasting your time. You know, getting that tomb open, why, he's been dead for 4 days already. He smells. He stinks, she said. And that's the way it is. That's what the apostle says. It's sown in corruption. That body of yours, if the Lord be not come one of these days, will be in the tomb. John G. Patton, when he went out to serve the Lord in the New Hebrides years ago, they were trying to discourage him for going out there because there were cannibals out there at that time. They said, if you go out there, they're liable to kill you and eat you. He says, well, whether I stay here in Scotland and I'm eaten by worms or go out there and are eaten by men, it doesn't make any difference to me. Essentially, it's sown in corruption. It's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor. It's raised in glory. I have a plot with 4 places for burial, and David is in one of them, the body of our son David. And I've got 3 spares. When I bought these 4, you could buy them for, I forget what it was, but $7 a month that it was paid for. It was a lot of months, but anyway, cheap then. But they said, Mr. Van Ryn, your plot is going to be in the Garden of Honor. Wouldn't you be honored, Mr. Van Ryn, to be buried in either one of these 4? No, I wouldn't be honored. It's no honor to be buried. It's a proof that I'm a sinner. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And I don't know anybody that's in a hurry to get in their particular plot. All that a man has will he give for his life. It's sown in weakness. You know, you go around and you brag about how strong you are, and there may come a time in your life and you can't even lift a cup to drink out of. Sown in weakness, but raised in power. Sown a natural body. Raised a spiritual body. Anybody here able to walk through closed doors? Lord did that after he was raised from the dead. Spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. Handle me and see. But he could walk through closed doors. I haven't been able to do that yet. But we're going to receive a new body. The Bible says, like unto his own body of glory. I am the resurrection. He says, I am the life. Whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. We sing in one of our hymns, oh joy, oh delight. Should we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread and no crying. Caught up in the clouds with our Lord into glory when Jesus receives his own. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. You know, the greatest enemy that we have, and the one that's more feared than anyone else, God's greatest preacher is death. When a man is facing death, I'll tell you, it gives some serious thought. You know, these fellows, they put them on the death row and they're there for 10 or 12 years, oftentimes. But I'll guarantee you this, if they put that man on death row and they told him, and it couldn't be changed, that he is going to die 30 days from today, he'd give some serious thought to eternity. And we may die any day, but, you know, we always think as though we're going to live. But one of these days, the last enemy that shall be destroyed, the Bible says, is death. When is it going to be destroyed? It hasn't been destroyed yet. Oh, I know what the Scripture says, that through death, he delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He has annulled the power of death, because death really can't touch the believer. We know. What do we know? We know, says the apostle, that if our earthly house, this house I live in, of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's an absolute certainty. But the apostle says, when the real victory comes, he says, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, that will not take place till our Lord Jesus returns. That's the day. When this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal, this body now subject to death, shall put on immortality, a body no longer subject to death, then, but not till then, shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then you're going to have a wonderful duet. There are all those that will come out of the grave, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and they'll say, oh death, where's thy sting? You thought you had us, huh? Oh death, where's thy sting? Those that are alive and remain, O grave, where is thy victory? You can't touch us. Then shall be brought to pass the same. And Martha, the Lord says, do you believe this? I don't know if Martha got the message or not. She said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which is come into the world. She didn't know how it was all going to take place. And we don't need to know how it's all going to take place. All that she was interested in, not the how, but the who. And if you know Christ, you don't have to worry about the how. He'll take care of the how. You just need to take care of the who. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he have died, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus speaks of two different resurrections. He speaks of the resurrection of the soul, and he speaks of the resurrection of the body. First of all, he says, the resurrection of the soul, that's something that's presently available to all who are still dead in trespasses and in sins. This is what he said. The hour is coming, and now is, and this is some future, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. To those still dead in trespasses and sins, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. That's a spiritual resurrection. But then he went on to speak about the physical resurrection in verses 28 and 29. He says, the hour is coming, but he doesn't say it now is, because it now it isn't now, but it's future. The hour is coming when all in the graves shall hear his voice. And if you're one who has passed from death into life through faith in Christ, if you have believed in him, you don't need to look fear death at all, because you know that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he'll catch you up to be with him. And if death should come before, you'll be caught up to be with him. Years ago, I spoke at the funeral of a couple in the mine. Well, not a couple. I spoke on behalf of a couple, but the lady had passed away. She was 60 for quite a few years. And the verse that she and her husband claimed, he took about 3 weeks off from his job to be with her in the last days of her life here. The verse that they claimed was this one in Romans 14:8. It says, whether we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. What a blessed assurance is that. The apostle says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No wonder the apostle says, this is the blessed hope. We're looking for that blessed and happy hope. The writer of Hebrews calls it a sure hope, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. The Apostle John says that this hope that we have in Christ, it's a purifying hope. Everyone that hath this hope in Him, in Christ, purifieth himself, even as He is pure. And finally, the Apostle Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, that fadeth not away, that's kept in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God." What a day. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to meditate upon this blessed truth revealed to us in God's precious Word. I thought we might sing in closing number 49, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Number 49.